talk to me, damn it, or else I'm gonna throw you in the fire!
You like scary movies?
Ghost story and horror film addict.
Ooh, scary movie.
Welcome to Spooky Night with your favorite uncle and host, Alexis Chainsaw Massacre.
Hey y'all, welcome to Boogie Nights. This is your favorite uncle, stepmother, granddad, and host, Alexis Chainsaw Massacre. I also have my other half, my pride and joy and love of my life, Bizarro.
Oh,
everyone.
Go on. Hello.
He's also a favorite uncle, stepfather, whatever.
About to be uncle.
T.O. Arlito. We are going to be having a niece join us in this world soon. And the cats are around, so if you hear a little scuttle and buttle, that's what's going on.
It's pretty lively in here.
Yes. She just went to the vet today, so she's got a lot of extra energies. So today, we actually had a dry spell for a little while where there really wasn't a whole lot out that we had wanted to see. We had seen The Beekeeper with Jason Statham, which was lots of fun.
Yeah, all fun. All action.
Yeah, I love how he just goes rogue and does whatever the fuck he wants all the time.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at it.
It delivered, I thought.
It did. The Beekeeper was solid. Bees on so many levels.
Bees on bees.
But today we are not talking about The Beekeeper. We actually have a double feature for y'all today. We're going to talk about Imaginary, number one. Number two.
Blood and Honey, Winnie the Pooh.
Number two. So, we got lots to discuss, so we better get to it. Imaginary. Now, when we first saw the preview for this, we weren't feeling super duper optimistic about it, especially after seeing Night Swim and it's the same company, Blumhouse. And it looked kind of weak, but I had a couple coworkers at work that were pretty stoked about it. They're like, oh yeah, it was great, 9 out of 10. I still have my doubts.
As we should have.
And, you know, it should have been a red flag when we got there and the previews lasted like 45 minutes.
Yeah, it did, for real.
Yeah, because they had like 25 minutes of Progressive commercials and M&M commercials and shit. First of all, M&M's advertise themselves.
Right.
That's all that needs to be said. So it took forever for this fucking movie to get going. It really did. But when we got to it, well, we'll get into that in a minute. Let's talk about what it's about first. So there's this, we'll call them a blended family. It's a stepmom and her rock and roll husband and his two daughters. They move into this house, which was the stepmom's childhood home. And the rocker dad's like, oh, I got a gig to play, babe. I gotta go. And then he's gone for the rest of the movie.
Convenient.
Right. He misses all the fucking action. So, in the meantime, you know, she's trying to figure out how to be a stepmom and shit and trying to get the kids to like her. And the little girl finds this teddy bear. And at first she's like, oh, that's so fucking cute. She's got a little friend. And they're doing imaginary friendship. Well, things get not so fun after a while. And that's the basic plot of the movie. So you're trying to figure out, is this imaginary friend real? What is the situation here? What do you want us to believe?
Where are we at?
So that's about all I can say without really ruining too much. Because there is... There's a couple twists, I guess. I did hear going into it that this was jump scary, which neither of us are thrilled about that ever.
Cheap.
That's
my least favorite thing about horror movies.
Yeah, they're always kind of cheap. And this one was no different. I guess there was a couple jump scares, but they weren't effective.
Yeah.
I don't think I jumped at all.
I'm pretty sure it was PG-13.
It was.
And it felt like it.
Yes.
You know, so it didn't build lots of tension and do scary stuff that way, so it was trying to be jumpy.
Yeah, and I don't really think it succeeded in that respect, but I will say it wasn't entirely what I was expecting. I thought it was going to be fairly generic. It did take a couple different turns, so it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. To me, it was entertaining. I know you said... You're like, this is shit.
Yeah, I didn't like it at all.
So, I'm going to say my piece about it, and then please feel free to chime in whenever. I was entertained by it. Did I think it was a good movie? No. But the one redeeming factor to me, which on Rotten Tomatoes, a lot of people were like, she sucks so bad. The babysitter lady.
Oh, yeah.
The fucking... So, the stepmom reunites with this lady, this old lady on the block that used to babysit her. And come to find out that this babysitter was with her all along when this shit was happening. And had all the answers, all the explanations.
You can conveniently tie up all the questions you have. Right. Like an in-story narrator to drive the point home.
Right, and they're like, I wonder what's happening. She's like, no need, I wrote a book about this. Yeah. And I've been working on it for 30 years.
So stupid.
And I have all the answers. I'm like, oh my god, this is the most invested babysitter I've ever seen in my entire life. She was on one. She was on a whole nother level.
And terrible acting. Oh, she was bad. She was bad.
Well, the acting all the way around was crappy.
Yeah.
But we were talking about it, though, with little kid actors. It's not like, you know, some of them have better acting chops than others, but for the most part, you just tell a kid, like, hey, say you love soup. Yeah. And they're going to deliver it however the fuck they feel like. They don't really know how to act yet.
And there, too much of the story was obviously hinged on this little girl. And she made me want to puke. Yeah.
She was definitely overacting for sure. They all were.
Yeah.
And I think I told you even, I don't know, within the first 10, 15 minutes of the movie, I'm like, I don't believe any of this. I don't believe in this family dynamic. I don't believe that they are a family. They don't feel like a family.
Yeah, their interactions didn't feel like a family.
No, I didn't believe that the dad was a rock star.
Yeah, at all.
He was just some British dude. He was like, oh yeah, I got to go. and then he's gone for forever, and he calls occasionally, and the stepmom's like, yeah, everything's great. She's got an imaginary friend. And there was just so much of that stepmom side plot of, I really want them to like me. I'm like, I don't care. I don't care whether they like you. I want to see some imaginary friendship. But yeah, so I wasn't buying any of that. I wasn't believing that anybody was a cohesive unit. I didn't believe that lady was a babysitter. I just believed that she was fucking a freak. But there were some twists and stuff that I didn't expect. It was fun. All in all, I think I had told you this at the end of the movie. I think that, and I'm basing this a lot off of one scene that I don't want to go into detail what it was, but I believe that this movie would translate well as a children's book and be a good gateway into horror. I feel like that, for serving that purpose, would be great.
In a lot of ways, it had kind of a goosebumpsy kind of level of, you know, it's going to get this dark and then. Yeah. You know, it's not... It felt like it was for kids.
Yeah, it wasn't... It definitely felt PG-13, which are generally my favorite. I'll give them a chance. Some are better than others. This one, it wasn't a good movie. It was fun. Yeah. I know you didn't have fun at all.
I didn't like it. You know, like, keeping my expectations low did not help save this movie for me.
And I knew going in when my coworkers were, you know, talking it up, I didn't think I'd be on their level with this at any point. I would say, you know, give it a watch, but don't pay money. I don't even think that it's in the theaters anymore. And there's so much that has all of a sudden come out that I want to see anyway.
Yeah.
So I would say if you're in that boat and there's a lot of different things that you're trying to prioritize, put this at the bottom of the list.
Yeah.
Wait till it comes out on Tubi or Vudu or whatever the fuck. Just wait. It is fun. Especially if you're like me and don't really discriminate and just want something that you don't really have to think about, it's perfect for that. But is it a good movie? No. I think Blumhouse, you know, they have their bangers, they just haven't had them lately. Night Swim and Imaginary are two pretty good examples.
They put out a lot.
They do. You know. And I don't really know that they think it through.
they just greenlight everything.
Right. They're like, oh, the traffic light is going kind of haywire. And it's possessed. Perfect. Let's go. So, who knows? But I think that they might want to maybe go by the saying that quantity is not quality necessarily. Mm-hmm. This one, yeah. I think on Rotten Tomatoes, I had kind of reviewed yesterday what they had to say about it. I think it was like 20-something percent critics, 50-something percent audience. Some of the reviews were funny again. I think one was about the popcorn was great. Actually, I think I might have saved a couple. Let me see if I can find it. I had screenshotted a couple because they were pretty amusing. Let's see. Oh, here's one that kids wouldn't stop being loud and obnoxious to even hear and enjoy the movie. Got stuff thrown and others were very mad. I thought that was an amusing one worth saving. I didn't screenshot any from Winnie the Pooh, so we're going to go without those. But I feel like Rotten Tomatoes, you know, was pretty accurate on this one. What do you think?
Yeah. It's for people.
It's for people?
About half the people, I guess.
I will say it was what... I mean, I did say it wasn't what I was expecting. So, I don't know. And I think you and I kind of come to agreement on this. The supernatural aspect of horror isn't always my favorite anyway.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, for me too.
I think that, you know, the concept is weak, to be honest. And I think that was part of it. It's like, okay, what are you going to do to really lift this up? So that's why I think that it would make a good children's book. Or even like... I don't know, if you really want to make a little older young adult.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that with this one, the reason I say children's book is because some of the illustrations, some of the visuals would translate well.
Yeah.
But that's about really all I have to say about that one.
Yeah, I don't have much.
But Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2, however.
Yes, yes. Much more fun.
Much more fun.
In my book, yeah.
So, and this was another situation like the first one where it wasn't out in the theater hardly at all. Uh-huh. We had 3 days to see it, so we really made sure that we got our asses in those seats.
We wanted to happen to us with the first one where we wanted to see it, but didn't realize how quick it was going to be in and out.
Yeah.
So we made sure to see this one in the theater.
Yeah, and then it took us how long to see the first one? I had to buy it. And then I think it came on one of our streaming services like 2 days later. But the one thing you and I were talking about, even though it hasn't been that long, we have poor memory of the first one.
Yeah, because it was not, I mean, nothing, a whole lot happened. You know, it was kind of...
real tongue-in-cheek. It was what it was.
Yeah, it delivered what it was, but not a lot more.
Yeah, all our...
It wasn't a thought-out, like, story. No. You know, it was what it was.
Yeah, the first one, pretty low budget. I know we were talking, I think it was in the New Year's episode. It was definitely, you know, you could tell it was a man in a poo mask. It was just a fat redneck that had a fucking flannel on. And there was a shitty wooden sign that said 100 Acre Wood. Piglet was there. I think Christopher Robin had went to college and stuff, and they were just jealous and fucking shit up, and that was pretty much the first movie. And
it was a B movie.
Yeah.
No
pun intended.
But honestly, you know, it had the whole, what am I supposed to believe?
What do they want me to believe?
Are these mutants, or are they crazy hill jacks dressed up as, you know, like, what in the story's universe, what am I even supposed to believe?
Right. The big thing that we couldn't get over was, is he consuming the honey, or is he oozing the honey?
Is he oozing or consuming honey? I don't know. It's just kind of a static thing.
Yeah. I was going to say, what's the flow of the honey, but it's really no flow. It's just on his face all the time.
Yeah, it's just on.
So, and the first one, I would say there's equal parts blood and honey.
Mm.
The second one, however, I would argue is there's a lot more blood than honey.
Much bloodier, yes.
Now, I don't want to ruin anything with this one, even though I'm sure a lot of you really don't care. But I'm still going to keep it, you know, relatively spoiler free. The one thing I will say, just because it's on the movie poster, so it's really not ruining anything, we do have extra characters to look forward to.
Yes, there's some additions to the cast, I guess.
Yes. Owl, pretty early on. Mm-hmm. So, at first, I didn't know what the fuck he was. I'm like, which character is this? Because I don't really have a lot of investment in Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, since being, like, little kid, me either. I think it's a pretty little kid's game.
Yeah, it is.
You know? It's like baby stuff.
And nothing really happens, like, in Winnie the Pooh, it just sees critters and they're like, oh, bother. And that's really about it. It's one of the more boring Disney movies, so never really have had, like, a great nostalgia or anything for Winnie the Pooh. So I didn't even remember all the characters. That's why I was like, who the fuck is... Oh, Owl. Okay. And Owl was honestly a little creepy.
Yeah. He was a badass.
He was a badass, for sure. And so it starts right off the bat, and actually, we were a little late coming into this movie, because since it was a special event or whatever, they didn't have any previews.
Yeah.
Which is
odd, because as we were talking about the previous movie, Imaginary, the previews lasted for a half hour or more.
Yeah. So this time we kind of farted around a little bit. But luckily, so the advantage to that, as soon as we got there, they just cut to the chase right away. Yeah. The fucking woodland critters were taking names right off the bat. Yes. Fucking Pooh was flipping a trailer, remember that?
Yes. That's what we walked into.
for one man bear to be doing that, that's pretty impressive. So right off the bat, you're like, wow, these mutant animals or whatever the fuck they are have lots of strength.
They're beasts.
And they are not leaving any trace of anything behind. So right off the bat, you know, we took note that this Pooh mask doesn't look quite the same. None of these characters are quite the same. Christopher Robin's different. Mm-hmm. At first, it was almost like they were pretending that the first movie didn't happen.
Right.
And you could tell right away, budget is definitely bigger. They're putting more effort into the storyline. Mm-hmm. And at first, I just wasn't sure on the angle, what they were trying to accomplish here. And at first, that made me nervous, because I'm like, oh, no, don't not become self-aware anymore. Come on, you still have to know who you are. But it wound up working out marvelously, because essentially the first movie was a horror movie that was made around this time period where the second movie was taking place, based off of true events. And Christopher Robin and his family were like, no, that's not how it happened. This was misconstrued. It was exaggerated in this movie. So the first Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey was played during the second Winnie the Pooh. But it was a fiction. It was a fictionary tale. It was very Hollywood, and they're like, "Nah, we don't agree with this." But it was really fucking up Christopher Robin's career.
Yeah.
Which, what was he, like, a doctor or a nurse or something?
So, yeah, drawing blood or giving, yeah, something in the hospital.
Yeah, he was steps away from being Patch Adams.
Yeah,
like,
basically. I think that's what they were telegraphing. Yeah.
Yeah, but and then like, he gets told that because of the movie, he has to be let go or whatever, because it's making all the bigwigs nervous and bringing bad press to the hospital and shit. Mm-hmm. And he keeps eyeing up this janitor. I'm like, is this about to be like Scrubs, where the janitor just like razzes on him? I'm not sure what this angle is either. But the janitor is actually a pretty important character, and I don't want to give any of that away, but he does have relevance. And Christopher Robin is starting to figure out some shit. He's going to some therapy and having some, like, trying to get his regressed pushback memories uncovered. Uh-huh. And he remembers Winnie the Pooh as a little kid. And then he remembers that the janitor took his brother away. And because that's one of the things that he's traumatized by, is that his brother just got swiped and they've never seen him again. So Christopher Robin is trying to figure out what the fuck is going on. Whatever ride he's on, you're on too. And there's, so it's a very Christopher Robin heavy movie, and you're trying to figure out what is going on with his brother, what's going on with the Winnie the Pooh characters, what is going on in general.
Just in general, what is going on in the Hundred Acre Woods?
And you know, the Hundred Acre Woods a little nicer now. It doesn't have a fucking wooden sign. But lots more blood than honey.
Oh yeah, lots of brutal. Lots of brutal stuff.
Yes, some really, you know, it's definitely, you can tell that it's not real blood and stuff, but it's a pretty gory movie.
It's a very gory movie, yeah.
If you are of the drinking crowd and want to play a drinking game, the easiest one to play with this one would be every time somebody gets decapitated or gets a limb just ripped out, take a drink.
Have a drink.
You'd be wasted. But all in all, baby, what were your thoughts on this movie?
I thought, you know, always, you know, go in expectations low. And but I really thought this delivered. I thought it was fun. Yeah. Expected. And I like that being said, I liked the first one for what it was. But this one was more and a lot better.
Absolutely.
And then they left it open to, you know, this isn't just the second one. You know, I think there'll be more.
Right. You know. You can't see me right now, but I'm grinning ear to ear.
Yes, she is. I can see her.
It was true. Like, you know how the Marvel movies used to end with, like, a little teaser to the next Marvel movie?
There's Nugget.
This did the same thing, only way better, and I care about it more.
This is our Marvel universe.
It is. I will take me through all the metaverses of Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, Steamboat Willie and Winnie the Pooh and me hanging out.
Right. Alice in Wonderland, fucking Bambi. I'm ready for all of it. I want all these motherfuckers to go, or the words of J-Rock, mouse. I want all of them to go public domain. Because for some reason, Disney keeps fucking around with remastering all these cartoons and making them live action. Mm-hmm. And they're nobody really ever asked for it.
Nobody asked for them.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're all okay at best. They, whatever. But if they let them go public domain and they could just be made into shitty horror remakes. Just
crowdsource horror movies for them.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Why the hell not? The one thing that I said on TikTok, and if those of you listen to my TikTok and are listening to this, welcome and thank you for coming. But the one thing I kind of the parallel I made, or whatever you want to call it, these fucking cats. The first one was a turd. The second one was a polished turd. Because, you know, both of them, of course, you're not expecting fucking Oscar-worthy shit. This one, the second one, it definitely had a higher budget, and they put more effort into there being a storyline.
Which was good, and, like, the acting was good in this. I like Christopher Robin. I thought he was... did the character really well.
Yeah.
You know, the story was compelling enough to, you know, it was good that way.
Yeah, and I actually, you know, kind of felt for him in, uh-huh. in places. He just wants to be a fucking nurse or doctor or whatever the fuck. Like
normal.
Yeah. He doesn't want to be trifling with these Pooh Bears. But, so, in that aspect, yeah, it was different. But it was still, it didn't quit being... unaware of itself. It knew what it was. It put humor in the right yeah. places.
Yeah, for sure.
There were some good one-liners.
There was.
Oh Bother does show up.
Oh Bother.
I won't tell you when, but it does.
It does.
And, you know, there's some definite nods to the original Pooh, but I would venture to guess that a lot of you that do enjoy this movie don't really care about the original that much and its integrity and childhood nostalgia and shit. And but this, I don't know, like I love this angle of taking old tales. And
yeah, it's fun.
So we were talking about Bambi, Alice in Wonderland. What was the other movie you brought up that they should do this with?
I don't remember off the top of my head.
I don't know. I'm just trying to think of some of the Disney movies that I don't really care about as much.
They could jazz up with a horror.
Yeah, I don't know, like, remember those old ones, like Great Mouse Detective and The Rescuers and shit? I remember those being good, but I haven't seen them in so many years and nobody talks about them. Uh-huh. But they could really take, like, a frightening Willard approach with the rat mice.
And giant rats and stuff.
Yeah. Have you ever seen The Secret of Nim?
No.
Okay, that's a cartoon that used to actually scare the shit out of me as a kid, and I'm pretty sure I have it downstairs, so we should watch it at some point. But my point is, like, they could make this universe go on forever if they wanted to. I know the likelihood of Disney coughing up any money isn't good, or losing any profit. Like, we can basically assume that we're not going to get public domain to Star Wars in this lifetime, or maybe ever, or, you know, Lion King, Little Mermaid, any of those. We can just kind of relax and wait for nobody to care about those. I don't think that's going to happen as long as we're alive, though. So some of the older ones that people have forgotten about, don't really care about, it doesn't bring the theme park money. Those are the ones I think that we can expect to see in the future. But, you know, I was thoroughly entertained and I was happy, and it did take some turns that I wasn't expecting, and I love the relation to the first one, and it gave it its nod and gave it its time. It was like, hey, we're a different movie now. It's still shitty, but it's just, but it was calculated shit.
Yeah.
It was.
I agree with that.
Yeah. That's the best way I could describe it. Now, if you want to see this one in the theater, I'm sorry, you probably can't. So you missed your chance, but I'm sure it'll be out at some point.
It'll be streaming.
It'll be streaming it somewhere, some universe, probably not Disney Plus.
probably.
But I would definitely say it's worth watching, especially if you do love the camp, if you love the B-movie feel. Lot less honey. There was no oozing honey, or there was actually maybe one scene with honey this time.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of blood.
Much more blood than honey.
If you do have a weak stomach, then this might be one that you want to err with caution and watch. But just remember that you can definitely tell it's not real.
That's the thing. I don't like physical horror, but it was done in a way that's just not quite realistic. It didn't have that same gut wrenching kind of Evil Dead kind of feel, you know. Ouch, it's done differently. Mm-hmm. So it's still gross, but it doesn't give me that, oh, I just watched someone's, like, it's not as true to life or something. I don't know, there's something about the way they did it.
Yeah, I agree, and that's how I feel about the Terrifiers too. They're, you know, pretty bloody and gross, but at no point did I ever think, oh, this is real.
Yeah, something, you know. Yeah.
Starting to get these little hiccups, which is kind of annoying. But yeah, so Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, I would say that we definitely enjoyed way more than Imaginary, which a lot of people might heavily disagree with that, but that's why it's our opinions. And,
exactly.
I know, and I probably shouldn't be saying this on a podcast that just reviews horror movies, but I know I have a lot of shitty opinions, but they're mine. I know these movies aren't for everyone, but they're for me, and I will die on that hill.
And we'll tell you why we like them or don't like them.
Yeah. Honestly, I think what it all boils down to is lower those expectations and go in just trying to be entertained.
Yeah, you'll have more fun that way.
Yeah.
In life.
In life, for sure. And, you know, I'm proud to announce that next week, this week actually now, because it's Monday, my coworkers have agreed to watching Troll 2 for Book Club, and they are in for a treat. I wish I had the pleasure of watching that for the first time again, but I can't. So I just have to experience it vicariously through the lenses of others. So though, that's pretty much all I have to say about both of them. What do you think? Anything else that you want to throw in?
I think that nailed the main points.
Yeah. I'm looking to see what the Winnie the Pooh universe is going to bring. I hope they don't stop. You know, with a lot of this horror shit, I do want them to stop this. I'm hoping it's just the beginning.
Yeah, I have no idea how much or how well it does or has done.
It probably brings them no money.
I don't know.
I think this is it's a situation where whoever is behind this movie, they are doing it for the love of the craft versus profiting.
It does seem, for a movie to be in the theater for 3 days, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't have a lot of opportunity to make money. So.
It doesn't, but you know, this could definitely, you know, I think that this type of thing that they're doing, it could definitely spawn a cult following and be one of those ones where it's kind of a slow burn, where it doesn't have all the popularity right from the beginning, but over the years and decades.
Right.
This could be right up there, you know, with some of our absolute favorites, like the fucking Toxic Avenger series or something like that. Like,
well, babe, we're getting on this train early.
Right. You heard it here first. I'm no fucking bandwagon cult follower, okay? consider us the cult leaders of the notes. Like, I'm not a cult leader, but have I told you that you're really important and that I need you to do my work? And if, so I do know the one thing I wanted to throw in before we end this thing. I did look on Rotten Tomatoes right before we saw Winnie the Pooh, which I've been trying not to do, but with this I'm like, oh, it's not going to ruin anything. And actually it did. Yeah. And I was like, oh man, spoiler. But the one thing that I was surprised with, and it was just a few reviews, so the numbers weren't entirely accurate yet. But when I first logged in the day of the movie, which was, what, Wednesday of last week?
Yeah.
It was like 80-something critics, 80-something audience. I'm like, this isn't real. There's no way.
Everyone loves it.
But that's pretty much what a lot of them had to say. Like, it was shitty, but it was better than the first one, and we loved it. Well, I am sad to announce that when I logged in yesterday, the numbers had fluctuated a little bit. Critics went down to 50, and audience still stayed 80-something.
Yeah.
But even 50-something for the critics for this movie is pretty high. They generally don't love horror movies,
yeah,
unless they're really artsy and elevated, and this is not one of those.
This is not that.
This is not, you know, this is not your Hereditary. This is, so I was kind of, and, you know, visually, like, it was not artsy. I would not call it that at all. So I was kind of surprised that the critics hung on for as high as they have.
Yeah.
But, so that's how I'm going to end the Winnie the Pooh. Now, coming up, there's all of a sudden a fuck ton out in the theater. Well, we have to see Kung Fu Panda 4.
Yeah.
Late Night with the Devil, I've heard. Well, I've only known one person to see it, and he said it was all right. The critics are really jacking off to this one, which makes me skeptical.
Yeah, right.
So that one looks cool. I know Immaculate's out, which I don't give a shit about because I'm not really into the religious horror all like that. But we'll see it one day. Just probably not while it's out. Godzilla and Kong is out.
Yeah, that one I'm excited for.
Yeah, we gotta go see that for sure.
Could be fun.
What's the other one? The Ghostbusters, which I could go either way on that. I've been hearing that it's kind of meh, which, not surprised. This weekend we have coming out The First Omen. I believe that's what it's called. That's the Omen prequel.
Uh-huh.
Which, again, not the most into religious horror, but the original Omen is where it's at.
Those are movies I have not seen.
Maybe we should watch the first one today or sometime soon.
I'm done.
It's pretty good. Gregory Peck is a handsome man. And
all right, sign me up.
Put me on that fan page.
In that case.
Well, we're going to watch it right now. But, I mean, the first one's legit. I like the whole Antichrist theme. And from what the trailers that we've seen of this, I'll bite. It looks compelling. I still don't have super high hopes. There was a remake, too, with Julia Stiles, which I think you and I are on the same page with her, where she just...
Oh, yeah, I don't care.
She just, I don't know, I have an irrational dislike. It might be because she looks enough like Heath Ledger, but she's not Heath Ledger, and I don't need that continuous reminder. I don't know. I don't know what it is in my subconscious, but but we don't need to watch that. We just need to watch the original. I believe, I don't remember if it's this month, I think it is, the Alien movie's coming out.
Oh, yeah.
Romulus or something like that. It's supposed to take place between Alien and Aliens. I didn't care for Alien Covenant. It was just kind of whatever, so I don't really have high hopes for this.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what it's called. It might be just called, like, Abigail or some shit. That chick with the vampire.
The ballet dancer?
Yeah.
Yeah, that looks fun.
I'll fuck with that.
That looks fun. Because it looks silly, but, like, pretty legit.
Yeah.
Is that a Blumhouse or Blumhouse?
I don't know. I don't remember, but it's got the chick that was Samantha in the Scream movies, the older sister.
Oh, yeah.
And I like her.
That they kicked out of the
Scream. That they kicked. Which, fuck. You guys, I don't know about this. You know, of course I'll watch anything, but I have no excitement or love for Scream 7. That's all I gotta say. They finally are gonna pay fucking Nev Campbell all this money that they said that they didn't have before because they have no other choice. Weak. I mean,
weak.
At this point, what are they going to do? Bring back David Arquette from the dead? Maybe they should. That might... Oh, it could be a Stu versus fucking Dewey. Dewey.
It's a flashback.
It's like a Mortal Kombat fucking setup. But, yeah, so Scream 7, whatever. I don't know when that's even coming out. Also, next... I could say next month now. May is next month, officially. There's that Strangers Part 1 coming out. And I can't decide. It looks like a remake from what I can tell. You know, I don't know that this needs a remake, but the first one has one of the most chilling lines of all time, Why are you doing this to us? You were home. Bah! God damn it. Like, that's true fuckery right there. Just cold-blooded behavior. So we'll see about that. I don't know. So there's a lot going on right now and things to look forward to. So we'll definitely... We'll be signing back on here, I'm sure, in no time to talk about something else. Any last words, babe?
Go Guards.
Go Guards. Woohoo. Woo. Beetlejuice 2.
Booby Juice.
Booby Juice. As always, thank you so much for listening. I have been fucking around on TikTok a little bit. Find me at Alexis Chainsaw. The Boogie Nights social media pages. If you haven't liked or subscribed or any of these podcasts, subscribe to the podcast first and foremost. The rest of it is just kind of, you know,
to get to the podcast.
Yeah. But, you know, subscribe. That way you don't miss shit coming out. Because we might be talking about Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 4 before you know it. But you've been having your head up your ass and forgot that there's new episodes.
Don't let it happen.
Don't let it happen to you. Subscribe. All right, everybody. Stay safe. Stay spooky.
Take care.
Peace.